I remembered all the hunting and belly crawling I'd ever done trying to kill a honker, and that I never got one. I tried to look where the dog was looking to see if I could find the flock, but it was too dark. The honking came closer and closer till it seemed like they must be flying right through the dorm, right over my head. Then they crossed the moon, a black weaving necklace drawn into a V by that lead goose. For an instant, that lead goose was right in the center of that circle, bigger than the others, a black cross opening and closing. Then he pulled his V out of sight into the sky once more. I listened to them fade away till all I could hear was my memory of the sound. The dog could still hear them a long time after me. He was still standing with his paw up. He hadn't moved or barked when they flew over. When he couldn't hear them anymore either, he commenced to lope off in the direction they had gone, toward the highway, loping steady and solemn like he had an appointment. I held my breath and I could hear the flap of his big paws on the grass as he loped. Then I could hear a car speed up out of a turn. The headlights loomed over the rise and peered ahead down the highway. I watched the dog and the car make for the same spot of pavement. The dog was almost to the rail fence at the edge of the grounds when I felt somebody slip up behind me. Two people. I didn't turn, but I knew it was the black boy named Jeever, with the nurse with the birthmark and the crucifix. I heard a whir of fear start up in my head. The black boy took my arm and pulled me around. "I'll get him," he says. "It's chilly at the window there, Mr. Bromden," the nurse tells me. "Don't you think we better climb back into our nice toasty bed?" "He can't hear," the black boy tells her. "I'll take him. He's always untying a sheet and roaming round." And I move, and she draws back a step and says, "Yes, please do," to the black boy. She's fiddling with the chain runs down her neck. At home, she locks herself in the bathroom out of sight, strips down, and rubs that crucifix all over that stain running from the corner of her mouth in a thin line down across her shoulders and breasts. She rubs and rubs and hails Mary to beat thunder, but the stain stays. She looks in the mirror, sees it's darker than ever. Finally, take a wire brush used to take paint off boats and scrubs the stain away, puts a nightgown on over the raw, oozing hide, and crawls in bed. But she's too full of the stuff. While she's asleep, it rises in her throat and into her mouth, drains out of that corner of her mouth like purple spit and down her throat, over her body. In the morning, she sees how she's stained again, and somehow she figures it's not really from inside her. How could it be, a good Catholic girl like her? And she figures it's on account of working evenings among a whole ward full of people like me. It's all our fault, and she's going to get us for it if it's the last thing she does. I wish McMurphy'd wake up and help me. "You get him tied in bed, Mr. Jeever, and I'll prepare a medication,"